Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of June, recording at 9:17 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this was quite a day in here. First, the review. Asian stock markets largely shrugged over the stock market reaction that has commenced this week. And I think they did so primarily because of a 3% plus rally by the Chinese Shanghai Composite Index. European stock markets started weak, rallied, and then came under selling pressure as Wall Street weakened. And one example, I think extreme decline here, the Swedish OMX market, a decline by 3.77% in here today, but there were a number of declines of over 1%, and Wall Street hit pretty hard, the Dow closing down 199 points, that's nearly 1.5%, the S&P down 1.76%, and the NASDAQ down 1.77%. What roiled stock markets here today, other than the recent loss of momentum, was heavy selling in bond markets, in government bond markets. And that has coincided, of course, with the 10-year Treasury yield in the U.S. topping that 5% level, an emotive level, a couple of days ago, and it punched more emphatically through it in here today. Elsewhere, as so often happens when markets are under a lot of pressure, the dollar begins to rebound, and it was stronger in here today, up 76 ticks against the euro, which slid to 134.28, up 87 ticks against the Swissie at 122.49. Dollar still had a small loss against the Aussie, though, and probably the New Zealand as well, although I haven't seen that. Now, in commodities, we had selling pretty well across the board in the industrial metals. This has been led by nickel, which I commented on a couple of days ago, once again talking about the top development activity that had taken place, and this broke below the 45,000 level today, and that's the weakest of the industrial metals here. And you know, for months it's been running into trouble up near that 50,000 level, as I've mentioned on numerous occasions. And precious metals, well, they seesawed in here today and then fell. And they reversed some pretty good gains in the process. So precious metals, having held up quite well, then went from the day's highs straight into a sell-off as contagion, I think it's psychological contagion at any rate, from stock markets and bond markets hit the sector. Gold currently down 11.5 at 6.59. And oil bucked this trend, was higher in here today, currently trading after hours up 71 cents at 66.67. That's the NYMEX crude. The Brent is well over the $70 level. And natural gas fell back here today, though. And gasoline down a little bit. Now, in agricultural commodities, sugar, which has been the most depressed of the agricultural commodities recently, was weak in here again today. Coffee remained firm. Cotton was up a little bit. The grain and bean complex was quite firm. So on the plus column, really, most of the gains came from these agricultural commodities. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, since Tuesday, I've been discussing the fact that this looked like a Certainly a reaction taking place, and we were due for one, given the overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages that I mentioned on Tuesday and illustrated on Tuesday. And I said yesterday that this reaction could morph into a correction. We haven't had a correction since that May-June period of 2006. And today's technical evidence will add to that view, although most of the weakness is in the European markets so far, and also on Wall Street. And with Wall Street soft, we do need to be very aware of and mindful of, watchful for the Wall Street leash effect, which I've talked about so many times. In other words, like a dog walker with one of those retractable leashes. And when Wall Street is steady, let alone rising, then the higher beta markets and the higher growth markets can just run riot on the upside, as we've seen. And conversely, though, if Wall Street is falling enough to raise a few eyebrows, then that retractable leash retracts and drags down those other markets, most of those other markets. And the higher beta ones, not surprisingly, will tend to fall even more than Wall Street. So that's the type of environment that we face here right now. We've seen the Wall Street leash effect be bullish for quite some time, but we're in one of those periods where it's going to be negative. Now, the impact will probably be felt differently, and or the extent of the impact will be different in various market sectors. I've said for the last 3 days that it looked like China had bottomed after those big declines of, I think it was 21.4% in the Shanghai Composite Index, and a decline of, I think it was 36%, but I put the figure up earlier in the week for the B-share index. But no doubt that Asia's bravura performance today, as I said in my introduction, was helped by the firmness of the Chinese stock market today, and that was accompanied by an announcement that the government was not going to introduce a capital gains tax. Now, Asia's got the growth, as we know, although there's plenty of growth elsewhere among emerging markets. My guess is that if any market uncouples from the Wall Street leash effect, it will be China, partly because that's largely a closed market and it's being rather skillfully and actively controlled by the Chinese monetary officials. So that would be certainly be my candidate to uncouple. Then some of the markets that haven't moved much, such as Japan. Japan was steady in here today, and that has been improving in recent weeks. So that could outperform. It may not go up. It probably wouldn't if Wall Street and continues to slide, which is quite likely, but it would show relative strength, in other words, fall less, and it might actually go up. Taiwan looks well positioned. If it weren't for the fact that I see a global stock market reaction and possibly a correction commencing here, I would be happy to go long Taiwan index futures. I wish I'd done that with the Korean stock market futures, as I said I was probably going to do some time back, and they've had an absolutely wonderful romp, and Taiwan has a very similar pattern and could easily get a move of that magnitude, but discretion is the better part of valor, and I'm going to wait until some of the dust settles from the selling that's taking place. Incidentally, keep an eye on the VIX index. When we get corrections, reactions, big reactions or corrections, it tends to top out, oh, in the 20s and sort of in the low 20s. Now, when we've had really big sell-offs in the past, and I'm not forecasting a really big sell-off. I'm not forecasting a bear market, although central banks have not helped in here with their somewhat really sort of acceleration of some of the interest rate hikes recently, and the bond market outlook is not helping here. But chances are, certainly quite strong in my view, that this is just a larger reaction, which I've been talking about for a while, and but possibly a correction given the additional weakness of long-dated government bond prices, and given the higher short-term interest rates that we have seen. So what I'm saying is that above 20 on the VIX index, markets will start to look a bit interesting, unless I'm way underestimating the sell-off that takes place, in which case the VIX index will romp up to the 40-plus level, which has coincided with bottoms of very severe sell-offs in the past. I'll post that later on when I complete comment of the day. And in terms of long-dated government bonds, with this additional weakness that we're seeing today, a lot of people are producing articles on the bond bull market being over. Well, it's been over for a very long time, as you probably realize. Certainly, veteran subscribers will know that. We've been talking about it since June 2006. But a lot of people, again, were in denial, partly because yields stayed so low. So that's the old thinking that, well, the ball game's changed. Then so many people were expecting deflation, or so many people were in denial regarding inflationary pressures. You know all the background to this overall. So, we're going to have to see some fairly convincing upward dynamics by bond futures to suggest to me that this squall, which looks somewhat overextended right now, but to indicate that it's over, I'll want to see chart action to indicate that. Ditto stock markets. We would have to get some very good upward dynamics to check this slide. And I'd be a little bit surprised if we saw it in the Western markets, at any rate, over the near term. Now, as far as the European and U.S. stock markets are concerned, my view is very much that we were more likely to get a ranging correction rather than another mini meltdown, or such as we saw at the end of February and the beginning of March. That's still my view, although I'm less confident about it now, a lot less confident about it, given the deterioration that we've seen in the government bond markets. And precious metals. Well, I think if we get people retreating to liquidity, cashing up, in other words, the same people who have owned the precious metals also have owned a lot of the equity funds, and therefore it's not that surprising that a contagion in stock markets can spill over into the precious metals. But precious metals are far less overextended on the upside than stock markets were, because they had underperformed. So I would expect precious metals to fall less. I would expect that to create another excellent buying opportunity in the sector. And having underperformed equities over the last few months, when markets do bottom, I wouldn't be surprised if precious metals don't outperform stock markets for a while. But a bit of that will depend, some of that will depend on how far stock markets actually come down. What else to mention here? The foods, the extent to which f foods and other agricultural commodities are being pushed upwards by actual demand from users, other than rather than hedge funds, is yet to be determined. If my hunch is that the demand comes mainly from the actual users of these commodities. When you get when you get things like the dairy sector showing the sort of moves that we've seen on the upside, well, my guess is that there's very little hedge fund participation in that overall. We've had a situation for a long time where foods were undervalued, where production capacity was being cut back. In other words, dairy products were so depressed for so long that farmers cut back their herds of dairy cattle, that type of thing, that this is a genuine demand-driven bull market and supply inelasticity. At this stage, same thing that we've seen for metals over the last 5 years or so. So I think there's more to go in terms of the food prices. But where we do have a large speculative participation as well, and that will certainly be the case with some of these commodities, if stock markets continue to weaken, if bond markets continue to weaken, if precious metals, if metal prices continue to weaken, we would see that contagion selling spill over into some of the commodity markets. It's a good time to keep one's head down here overall. I'm a little annoyed with myself that I didn't open some hedge shorts in here. But overall, I'm not too fussed in terms of riding this out in terms of my investment portfolio positions, and I'm not in a great hurry to increase exposure here over the short term. I had a number of precious metal positions stopped out today. It's vexing. I think I might have mentioned that in the beginning. So I'll just wrap up at this stage. And well, no doubt it'll be an interesting day tomorrow as well. Meanwhile, all the best.